So hopefully after our discussion, you'll be able to describe how our roads are managed here at LBL, and you'll be able to identify the main challenges we have with maintenance. That's what I want you guys to walk away from with this. So let's take it all the way back. TVA came and acquired all this land and these roads. And when they took possession of it, there was one road that was accepted. I think everyone's familiar with 6880, the road that runs east-west. It was mapped sideways, but it's east-west. That road was the only road that TVA was not ever responsible for. All the other roads fell within TVA jurisdiction. That also meant that maintenance had to be performed on all these roads. And TVA, in a informal agreement with the residents, agreed to maintain the roads at the maintenance level that they were in their existing condition. So when the roads were acquired by the agency, if the road was in terrible shape, they would improve it enough to make it passable, especially if it accessed the cemetery, but it would maintain at that level. They weren't going to come in and pave every single road. They were going to maintain at that level or to a better level if it met their program needs. Now, a big piece of this is TVA performed all of their maintenance in-house. That's critical. They had staff, TVA employees, federal employees were out there on the grader, were out there in the excavator, were out there on the bulldozer. They're performing these functions. TVA had a budget to perform these functions. TVA spent millions of dollars a year to maintain these roads. And in 1999, I think most of us are familiar, LBL was transferred to the Forest Service, from TVA to the Forest Service, right? So when Forest Service got, a couple things happened. The Forest Service had to go and Forest Service-ify the LBL rec area, right? It had to make it their own. And Forest Service has what we call operational maintenance levels. This isn't a TVA thing, this is a Forest Service thing. Forest Service has these levels of maintenance that they expect to apply to roads. Okay, and each level kind of dictates what you should expect to see. So the first level is just a road in storage. It doesn't mean it's a bad road, just means it's a road for intermittent use, or a road that's not necessarily open to the public at all times. So we'll see some examples of those. Level two are roads that are maintained for high clearance vehicle access only. So raise your hand if you got a four-wheel drive. A couple of you, that would be these roads. If you don't have a four-wheel drive, don't expect to be able to get down a level two road. That's the expectation. Level three is maintained for passenger cars, but comfort is a low priority. So be on the lookout. That could be ditches, potholes, you name it. Level four, maintained to moderate degree of user comfort. So a little bit better. And then level five, maintained to a high degree of user comfort, typically our paved roads. All of our paved roads at LBL are level five. So when Forest Service inherited it in 1999, they assigned these levels based on the existing condition. And the funding that was awarded to LBL at that time was loosely based with this and other factors on these levels. So obviously a level five road is going to receive more allocated dollars, appropriated dollars, than a level two road. The next thing Forest Service, let me get to my patients here. I got some good visual aids. So here are some examples of a level one road. You see, like a maintenance level one, this was a timber access road used up on the north end in our timber sale, road 304. It was open for the sale. It had been closed in storage before. We reopened it exclusively for the sale. And then we closed the road after the sale was complete. Another example is just south of the South Bison Range, you have Forest Service Road 205B. This was the access to the old South Maintenance Building, the South Maintenance Complex. This road is still in our system, but it's no longer utilized, so it's in storage. We have 21 miles on the unit that are considered storage roads. This is level two. You can see 141 here. I'm sure a lot of you have seen 141. It's got low water crossings all throughout. This is, I don't know if you can call that a low water crossing when the creek is a part of the road, but this is in good conditions. So you need a four-wheel drive. You're expected to have a four-wheel drive if you want to get down 141. The other road, 224, is Pettit Cemetery Road. Again, it can be better. It can be improved, but the expectation is maintenance would allow for high clearance vehicle traffic only. Getting a little bit better with jumping ahead. So maintenance level two, this right here is a low water crossing we put in about 5 years ago. This is on a level two road. So Forest Service does recognize that we have these levels. We say, okay, this is high clearance only, but we also want to be good stewards of the land and recognize when people, when the public want to use our lands in a different way than what we designated, we try and accommodate. This low water crossing is not seen on any level 2 roads anywhere in the Forest Service. We have 2 on a mile and a half road on 145. Now you say, why? Why did the Forest Service spend over $500,000 putting in low water crossings on a level 2 road? And the answer is it's a main access to cemeteries located right up here. So we have Energy Lake Campground is right here. People, whenever they're going to visit their cemeteries at Furryson Springs or at Oakley Cemetery, will typically travel from Jenny Ridge Road up this 145, this yellow road, this orange. This road has 2 low water crossings that we have prepared to this level to make sure that people can get through and access those cemeteries for their reunions. There are other ways to get there. That's one of the preferred routes. So Forest Service does commit to try and make level 2 roads better when it makes sense and when we're able. I will say, however, 145 was closed earlier this year due to this same creek eroding a portion of the bank that we haven't been able to repair yet. It's about a 15-foot drop, and it's eating into the roadway as we speak. I haven't seen it since the recent storm, so it's probably worse. Level 3. So we're getting a little bit better. This should be suitable for passenger cars. We have over 127 here on the left. We have 169 going out to Polston Hollow on the right. You can see there's the DGA, dense grade aggregate, that gray stone. You're starting to see this on these roads. Usually level 2s, you're probably seeing the native material. So whatever rock, creek gravel, whatever rock, dirt they use at the time is by which you find the level 2s. Maintenance level 4 should be a much more improved road, potentially a 2-lane, not always, potentially a 2-lane. Moderate level of user comfort. You have 109 on the north. You have 113. Just kind of showing you have established ditching for runoff. Sometimes you have a crown, so the roads are getting a little bit better in condition. Currently, 57 miles of our roads are considered maintenance level 4. And then our last is maintenance level 5. Essentially paved roads. High degree of user comfort. Almost always a paved road. So Lake Road 106 here on the south end. And then everybody's driven the Trace with 100. These are the roads that should be the best that we have. Should being the keyword. 154 miles of paved roads that meet that level 5 designation. So Forest Service has assigned these levels. Doesn't mean that we're going to be fully funded to meet these levels. Just this is the goal. This is the operational goal of the Forest Service, is to have these roads at this level. So this pop quiz, anybody here at the board, looking at this picture, what level would you say this road is?
For what per loss?
Would be the twin?
Two? Yeah, I'd say it looks like a level 2. I think it's pretty accurate. But it's a trick question, because it's not a road. This is a user-made road. This is not something we've ever put gravel on, not something we've ever worked on with ditching or clearing or any of that, but our visitors like to access their rec area, and sometimes our roads don't provide them the access they desired, so they create their own access. If any of you are familiar with the Marler House on the north end of the Union, some people refer to it as Hotel California. That we have closed user-made access roads to that site multiple times with trees, with equipment, and it's still a new road is made. The people will go where they want to go, right? So we don't permit this. People are ticketed when they're found off the unit in vehicles. However, it is a reality. And so this is just kind of prove a point that there are a good number of roads that don't show up on this map, that when you're driving out there, you're going to say, that's probably a road. It's very common. So this would be what we would call an unauthorized road. We don't want people on these roads. We ticket people on these roads. But there are other unauthorized roads as well. Cemetery access roads. So all the cemeteries in LBL are legally, by the Protection Act, permitted access. That doesn't necessarily mean vehicular access, but it does mean access. So if there was a path, a road, to get to that cemetery when TVA took it over, there should still be a road to get there now. That's kind of the understanding. So we have multiple roads in our rec area that aren't Forest Service roads. However, we recognize that they are cemetery access only roads. Now, Chris and Carl do a great job putting these signs up, cemetery access only. The public, the general public, is not allowed on these roads. They're not public roads. They're not legal roads. They're strictly there for those visiting this cemetery. And again, that's something that's difficult to maintain and enforce, but that is the intent. There are 34 miles, but that's the documented miles of cemetery roads. There's actually many, many more miles, because this only accounts for the literal path that we've tracked with a GPS. There's a lot of field access that you're going through, and there's a lot of open land access that people are utilizing to get to these roads. We can talk about a couple later. Another restricted access road is field access. We've talked about our farmers. They need to be able to access these fields. They need to be able to harvest their crops. They need roads to do so. However, we don't want the public going into every field and going through all these fields and usually creating disturbance and resource damage. So these are field access roads. So even though there is a road going into this field that's not on our map, I shouldn't be on it unless I'm a farm, right? That's the expectation. So it's restricted use. Utility access. Same thing for our utility providers. We have easements across the unit. So TVA may need to access a power line, or if the gas company may need to get to a part of their gas line. They have roads and paths to get there. They're not in public use. Temporary roads. In the timber sale last year, the salvage sale, temporary roads were created in some portions of the sale. Once that project was finished, those temporary roads were to be returned back to a semblance of a native environment. It's not necessarily going to look like it did before, but it should be similar. And so those roads are closed. They're not going to stay open forever. So if that were the case, every timber sale, you'd end up with more and more roads to maintain. That's not the intent of a timber sale, and that's not the intent of these temporary roads. All right, so the Protection Act, I think we're all familiar. That's how, it's one of the tools used to transfer LBL from TVA to the Forest Service. When we're talking about roads, the Transportation Act did three things. These are the three things I want you to remember. The trace and all the paved roads at the time were to be labeled forest highways. Forest highways. Every paved road at the time became a forest highway. The second thing in the law, the states shall maintain the forest highways within the recreation area. It's the responsibility of Kentucky Transportation Cabinet and Tennessee Department of Transportation to maintain these roads. And the final piece, Secretary of Transportation or Federal Highway Administration shall reimburse the states for all or a portion of the cost of maintenance of these forest highways in the recreation area. This was set up when the Forest Service took over. So what that means is we have a number of roads on our unit that are forest highways. So when the Forest Service inherited all these roads from TVA, they put funding in our pot for this amount. They did not fund this amount. The USDA Forest Service has never received funding to maintain forest highways because, per the law that created this, that's the responsibility of the states to be reimbursed by the federal highways. So all the paved roads at the time are the responsibilities of the states, not the responsibility of the Forest Service. 119 miles. Here's a couple examples. You can see Fort Henry Road, 230 on the south end, is a paved road. You can see Energy Lake Road, crossing Hematite Creek where that ridge is being replaced, 134. These roads are forest highways. So in 2012, the Moving Ahead for Progress in the 21st Century Act, or MAP 21, was passed. This was the first time a transportation bill was passed that did not include language for forest highway funds. Meaning, there were no reimbursements for the states. The states had been maintaining the trace, 230, Hematite Creek Road, Energy Lake Road going to Hematite Creek. All these roads are being maintained by the states. They were good partners. In 2012, the funding stopped at the top, at Congress. Congress said there's no more funds for forest highway maintenance. Federal highways had no more money assigned to them to give to the states. The states had no more money that they could ask for to spend, and we don't receive funding. A gap was created. A hole was created in that pie chart, the blue portion. Around that time, the Federal Land Access Program was created. Now, this was for special projects. So the states could say, we have this road that accesses public land. We want to do a project. We want to, let's say, roadside mowing. Well, they would say, no, that's not a special project. That's routine maintenance. Okay, we want to do pothole patching. No, that's not. That's routine maintenance. It's not a special project. Okay, we want to do an overlay. Okay, yeah, that's great. Let's do an overlay. We'll resurface the tricks. Well, we tried that 2 years ago. We submitted for FLAP to resurface the trace. That project was rejected. So FLAP is up to the Federal Highways Administration to approve and reject projects at their will. It's not a guaranteed funding source, and you're competing against all the other FLAP projects in the nation. So you're not guaranteed any funding from FLAP. It's sort of like the Great American Outdoors Act that I mentioned. You compete in the best project wins.
Oh, you dead again?
Oh, it's me.
So in 2015, we had a new transportation bill, the FAST Act. It replaced MAP 21. Nothing changed for Forest Highways. There's no routine maintenance. The states still have a pot of money that they can get from Federal Highways. Federal Highways has managed their budget well. They've tracked the money. There's still money there. It's just not being replenished. Well, the states can still ask for that money and be reimbursed for that, but it's dwindling. It's not being refilled. And then in 2021, the IIJA was passed to replace the FAST Act. Again, no routine funding for Forest Highways. So that pot in Federal Highways keeps getting lower and lower and lower, right? So from 2012 to now, 2025, the states have been doing as minimal maintenance as possible and requesting reimbursement from Federal Highways, and they've been awarding that funding. Currently, each state has less than $100,000 left to reimburse. So that's money held by the Federal Highways Administration that the state can access for doing work here. Now you say, well, why don't the states just do it out of their own budget? Well, their taxpayers don't pay state income tax or state taxes to work on federal land. You know, it's a difficult position for the states to be in, and they're told to maintain the roads that their taxpayers live on, their taxpayers serve. This is federal land. Federal land should be taken care of by federal appropriations. That's an opinion. My opinion is just an opinion, and that's why the states are basically unable to perform maintenance on our forest highways. So before we get out, anybody got questions on forest highways? Yes, sir.
Just a comment. I just now learned that you all have five levels of bros. Where on your road maps, you use the TBA numbers, which are 100, 200, 300. The public perceives that is how those roads are maintained. And quite frankly, I think they think they ought to be able to drive over a 200 road at any time.
I can speak to that. I think it's a great point you bring up.
I hadn't grown.
I can... My fellow engineer, Tyler Derrick, in the back, I'll talk about him later. He's handling our roads program, doing an excellent job. But I lament to him, whoever in TVA assigned the road numbers was not an engineer. But they did not do it methodically. They did not do it the way I would have done it. It is very frustrating to me. The 100 start at the top. So the trace is 100. Then you have 101, 102, 103, all the way down here. You get down in the high 100s. The 200s start at the Tennessee line. So 201 is right here. 201, then you got 205 and 204, and then you got 222, 221. So the 200s start here and go down. So 200 level road has nothing to do with the level of maintenance. It means it's in Tennessee at the northern point and going down. 300 number roads begin up here, 302, 301. So we have 100 all the way down, 200 halfway down, 300 starts all the way back at the top and comes down, but 300 goes all the way through, just like the 100. Now 400 roads start down here halfway, go down, and then go back up to the top and come down through. The road numbers have loosely no impact or no correlation with the road maintenance level. And
well, I think it's a thumb link, including myself, who always thought that's just...
At one time it was set up that way. It was 100 roads, 200 roads, 300 roads was the type of maintenance. The 400 roads were added after the fact, like St. Stephen's Roads 415. That was a road that wasn't part of the initial project. So that was why it ended up with 415. Now I'd have to look at it to be sure about the 100s and 200s, why it changed that way. But they were set up by TVA to be by maintenance by the number on the roads. And it, each has sign road number sign on it, a three-digit number. And they'll look at that. By that road number, I can tell whether or not I'm going to be able to drive on
it. Yeah, it's, you know, I'm not sure why I send it with 201. I know that's in Tennessee. I know that's true. But I can't say that
where there's no evidence to me that the 200 level roads are maintained any better than 300 level roads. I just can't see it. And either way, it's a moot point now because we're responsible for maintaining it and we don't follow those road numbers. Well, those road numbers don't dictate how we maintain. There's a general rule that 100s are probably better maintained than a 400, but.
Well, that'd be a good request or a news release or something about to have Forest Service roads, because, like, Johnny, I didn't realize there was a difference in, because I thought you inherited TEA's road level numbers.
I'm not sure. In my position, I inherited these numbers, and they're the only numbers I've ever known. And I
don't know. They started late. We should be sucking.
Get changing those numbers. Again, you know, you don't want to change history, I guess, but there's definitely efficiencies that could be made, but that's my understanding.
I just think that's a misconception right out of the public.
Nowadays, yes. And it was started in 1977, the legal road system, for sure.
Any other questions on Forest Hollis?
Is there any way, or someone that's never been to this area, when they come to a road, is there a map where they can identify what level it is? Or is there anything there that lets them know before they get down something that they shouldn't be on?
There, all Forest Service units have what we call the MVIC, the Motor Vehicle Use Map. And that's updated legally every year. So it's on our website. It's also accessible if you go to our visitor centers. You can get a copy of the MVIM. The MVIM is what we call it, Motor Vehicle Use Map. The MVIM map does note the difference between roads that are open year-round, roads that are open seasonally, and roads that are high clearance. So that is noted. It's not to that level. It's not all five levels, but it is noted.
And it's also available on the Avenza app. And that's a map that goes on your phone. Will blue dot will follow you around. So eliminate all questions about where you are physically, like spot the
practicability shooters.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay. All right, so routine maintenance. We're talking about routine maintenance. FLAP does not cover routine maintenance. The states cannot perform routine maintenance because it's not reimbursable from any other well, they can perform, but their pot is dwindling for reimbursement. So what exactly is that? If you're not a roads person, you might not know. Federal Highways says that routine maintenance is maintenance work that is performed, planned on a routine basis to maintain and preserve the condition of the highway system or to respond to the specific conditions and events that restore the highway system to an adequate level of service. So it's pretty comprehensive work that you're going to do on a road that's not a special project. So here's some examples. These are examples of maintenance that maybe the state would perform or we would perform. So the routine maintenance has got to overlap. Road grading. So here we're road grading out at OHV, the off-highway vehicle area in Turkey Bay, road 167. Roadside mowing. So this is something we perform on our roads, our Forest Service roads. The state would perform. That's considered maintenance. That's what they would perform on the trace, on 165, on 230, on all of these paved roads. So this is Neville Bay Road. We did the mowing there. Sidearm mowing. This is to clear the aisle, so you know trees will encroach on your road. They start to hit campers, they start to hit higher, taller vehicles. So roadside mowing is limbing back those trees and opening up that corridor. And I think that roadside mowing is road 126. Signage replacement, that's pretty self-explanatory. Pothole patching, also self-explanatory. Ditch and culvert cleanout. I got this picture in here late. So if you're aware, we've had a lot of rain in the last week. We had a culvert fail in our campground at Hillman Ferry. This picture is the culvert cleanout of that culvert on Monday. So this is fresh.
Well, it was on Friday.
Say what?
That was on Friday.
On Friday. Excuse me. Friday. Yeah. So, okay. So it's really old now. It's almost a week old. Yeah. So that's culvert cleanout up at Hillman. And then storm debris removal. This wasn't from this storm, but you can see storms often leave us a lot of crescents on our road, and it's difficult to drive through, so somebody has to go through and clean that up. And that's considered routine maintenance. All right, so what's not routine maintenance? In other words, what's construction? What does FLAP look at as an eligible project for federal highways? We'd say road construction. So here's an example of road construction. You see road 347. They basically put down an entire new base layer of rock. and had it rolled. This was performed by our contractor, Tipton FSI. They did an excellent job with our ropes. There they are in action, installing a culvert here on 160. This is the rub that connects 6880 to 165 going toward Wranglers. So culvert replacement is a major project. That's not routine. Bridge replacement. You can see they're drilling some cores to take samples for our Jones Creek. I just talked about the approved project that we have for 172C Jones Creek Bridge. Those are cores that are needed to put in that new bridge. Paving and repaving. This is the paving of Sugar Bay Road. Striking. Striping of the trace that we paid for this past year. And safety features. You can see in the picture on the bridge over Hematite Creek, they're installing the guardrail. So safety features would be like guard railing and signage. These are construction features. These are flat eligible, but again, it doesn't mean you're guaranteed to receive flat funds. It's a project that you could create, you could submit, and you could receive funding in a couple years, or maybe it's rejected and you have to submit again. So we talked about forest highways. Let's talk a little bit about our forest roads. How does LBL fund the road maintenance we do here? We talked about our different funding sources in a different meeting. I know you guys heard me listen to me before talk about the different funding sources that LBL has. So we have appropriated dollars. These are dollars we receive from Congress to do our job, right? We call that CMRD. That's our job code. That's our shorthand code. Construction Maintenance of Roads, CMRD. This was a project on CMRD Road 128. You can see where we just put down some rock. You can see where we graded, ran a grader through it, and cleaned out the ditches a little bit. So just some typical maintenance here in this picture. Revenue dollars. These are the funds that the unit collect through fees and through various rec sites. So whether it's Davies fees or camping fees, these are funds that we keep in-house and that we are allowed to spend on whatever we choose. So at this point, I've got a story. I've got a story to tell you guys. In January of last year, Hematite Creek Bridge was inspected and closed due to potential failure. It failed inspection. It was no longer safe for public travel at any load limit, so the bridge was immediately closed. If you're familiar with the area, this bridge is just before Hematite Creek Picnic Area, which is a very popular hiking destination for day use, and the Woodlands Nature Station, which, as we all know, is a popular day use facility as well. This bridge was right here on the south end. You could still access these two facilities from 133, but the majority of the public either come up 134, or they come up the trace and go down 135 to get here. This access was no longer open. As you can tell, it's a level 5 road, making it a forest highway, meaning the state is responsible for fixing this bridge. So when the bridge was deemed closed, what I do, I call up the state. Hey, our bridge is closed. Yeah, we need it fixed. What can you do? Oh, flap's not open. When's it gonna be open? You know. Okay. So I go to my leadership and I say, flap is our only hope, and there's no open applications for flap. This access is closed, potentially permanently. I don't know how long, right? So the state doesn't want this to happen. The state wants this to be open. They want this to be accessible. They don't have the tools and the resources in the same way that we do. They don't have the ability to make it open for us. But they told me on the phone, they said, we'll help however we can. They said, we have an in-house bridge group that's going around fixing bridges just like this. We're doing it all the time. They're in-house. They're not contractors. We can fix that bridge. We just can't pay for it. I said, that's great. So I went to my boss and I said, they can fix the bridge. They can't pay for it. And so leadership made the call to repair this bridge using LBL funds. The funds that we made from campgrounds, the funds we made from selling things in the outposts, paid for the repair, the replacement of this bridge. Without those funds, without the ability to do that, this bridge would still be closed today, I guarantee it. So I called the state, I said, hey, give us an estimate, tell us what it's gonna cost. We got the numbers, we worked it out with our contractor, what we would need to do, worked out all the kinks. This bridge was condemned in January and was open in June. Less than 6 months. Because of a concerted effort, the state dropped everything they could do to work with us to get this done. We moved a lot of things around, including a bunch of money, to make it happen. It cost us approximately $250,000 to replace this bridge. So that's revenue dollars you're not putting on roads that go to cemeteries. That's $250,000 you're not putting on repairing the nature station. That's $250,000 you're not putting into our other programs in wildlife and natural resources. That money was put on a bridge that we're not even responsible to be paying. But we did it because it needed to be done to serve our public and to serve our programs. Another funding source is project funds. So we've already talked about GAOA. That would apply here. A popular project fund is the ERFO. You see E-R-F-O. ERFO is Emergency Relief for Federally Owned Roads. When there's a big disaster, big problem, we apply for ERFO funds. If they're approved, we're given those funds to explicitly spend on that road. So it's not like they say, okay, here's $50,000. Have fun. No, they want to know, what did you buy? Where did it go? What's the road look like now? We're going to come out and inspect it and make sure you didn't go put in a new soda machine, right? That money is directed to be spent on that. In the same way the GAOA is. If we win a project through any project funds, we have to spend it on that designated project. So this was a culvert that was replaced with some ERFO dollars, road 123. And then the final major source of funding for roads are grant funds. So in this specific instance, we're looking at the RTP grant, Recreational Trails Program grant. We pay for the repair. So we repaired this road ourselves. We used our revenue dollars to fix this road at Turkey Bay. But then we were reimbursed 80% of those costs. So this road cost us over $1 million to get fully repaired. The low water crossings, new culverts, new ditching, riprap, and raising the elevation. We paid $200,000. So that's your cost savings with a grant. That's the opportunity that we get. And that's working with the state. KYTC assists us with this grant. Your other grant opportunities out there right now, this is just the example. All right, so appropriated dollars. That's the first thing we talked about, right? The first thing on the sheet, how much does Congress give us? Well, here's our roadmap from 2010. You can see we're around $500,000. It goes down and it goes up and it goes down and it goes up and it goes up a little bit. So here in 2019, we're at $687,000. This is money just for roads. This is CMRD. This is just road money. This is not money to manage open lands. It's not money to manage facilities, just roads. And then you see a sharp decline between 2020 and 2021. The Forest Service is going through an overhaul in this time. You've heard talk about budget modernization. And a part of budget modernization pulled engineering salaries out of this number. This number included my salary, it included Tyler's salary, included multiple engineer salaries, and other expenses in the CMRD Cove. Well, in the modernization, they said, okay, now all the employees are going to be paid out of NFSE, just a different code, doesn't matter. We're not using CMRD anymore. So I don't want you to look at this number and say, oh, they're putting $500,000 on roads. That's not true. There were salaries in here. There were other things that got taken out. However, there was also a general decrease in road funding. So it's kind of a double whammy there. There's the removal of salaries, but then there's also a decrease. So we dropped to $171,000 in appropriated funds in 2021. And then it goes up a little bit to 255, then 274, then back to 255 in 2024. This is one part of the picture. But I want to show you guys a different picture. That orange bar, what's that? Directed project dollars. In 2023 and 2024, there were funds directed to be given to Land Between the Lakes for specific projects from Congress. It was a shall. You shall spend this money on these things. So they were CMRD dollars. They were appropriation dollars. They were not for operational expenses. So here's that zoomed in a little bit closer. Right here, 255, 274, all those numbers stay the same, 255. We received an additional $1.4 million in 2023 and an additional $1.3 million in 2024. Now, does that mean I could go put that money on any road I want? Absolutely not. That money was directed to fix certain things that was already spelled out before that money was ever approved. So again, it's kind of like project dollars in a sense, but it came from a different source. So There's no expectation to receive that money every year. That was awarded to us from Congress, and we have no plan, we have no understanding that we're going to be receiving more congressionally directed dollars for the future. So the number you need to focus on is this. But I'm not going to lie and say we didn't get that money. So I'm going to show you how much you spent last year on maintenance. $2.6 million spent on our roads last year. Cemetery access roads that we had spelled out on task orders was over $309,000. Now, the number's higher than that, but this is what I could pull out based off what we have categorized. Like, we have other cemetery access road maintenance projects, but they're grouped with other projects, and so it's harder to break it down. I wanted to give you guys a hard number that I could back up. I would say it's probably over $500,000. So here's the chart. Out of $2.6 million, almost half of that was projects that Congress told us to perform, to execute. Then we got our appropriated sliver here, $184,000. The reason that's not 255, or it was 255, the reason it's not 255 is some of these projects were not completed. Our fiscal year runs from October 1 to September 30, and there were projects that had not been paid out before this end of the fiscal year. So those projects are complete by now, but that was not captured in this fiscal year. We see our project dollars at $97,000 and our RTP dollars at almost $400,000. So these are the projects we executed and where the money came from. Now, I know this is a lot, and we can kind of go through it. I want you guys to ask questions if you have them, but this is the breakdown. So the colors are the same. Revenue is blue, appropriated is green, RTP is red, IRFO is purple, and directed projects is orange. You can see what types of projects we were doing with what money. So the only paving was appropriated dollars that Congress told us to spend, right? If you look at grading and repairs, every pot touched grading and repairs to some degree. RTP did the largest, but every funding source applied to grading and repairs. You can see culvert repair and maintenance, a large congressionally directed pot, a smaller amount of revenue, and a much smaller amount of allocated dollars, appropriated dollars. I'll give you guys a few minutes to look at this, and if you have any questions.
Where did you pave?
Where did we pave? This specific project was Gatlin Point.
$600,000 is not a lot by time. That
was... It wasn't the whole Gatlin Road either. It was just part of it.
Correct. So here are the projects. So that money put into this chart, paving Gatlin Point, right? The culvert in front of Wranglers, 165. Restriping the trace. Remember I told you it's a forced highway, but somebody had to pay for it. $98,000. Replacing Hematite Creek Bridge, $264,000. Then we have Road 351. This is access to Jones Creek. When Jones Creek Bridge was closed, we had to provide access to that cemetery. I think it's Downs 2 Cemetery. So almost $220,000 paying access to that road and general maintenance and road feature maintenance. That's like things like mowing, sign replacement, things of that nature. Any questions on this?
I just want to add that that Hematite Bridge replacement, we knew the bridge was declining, so we had an estimate in place, a government estimate in place for its replacement, and it came in anywhere between $1.7 and $2.1 million. So that partnership with the state of Kentucky to replace that Epicentric in-house crew saved a ton of tax dollars. So what, for $2.1 to $250,000, that's pretty tremendous. These partnerships are really about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, the state of Kentucky and Tennessee are great partners. And I don't want anyone to walk away from this meeting thinking that I'm blaming them for the situation, because they're, in a sense, victims in the same way that we all are, a lack of funding. All right, so what's the Lewis Carroll saying is, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there, right? So how are we maintaining our roads? We have to have a plan. There has to be a process. Number one is our high priority or urgent needs. Now, this is a revolving door. These things change day by day. Funerals. So here's a road going to Woodson Chapel. There wasn't a funeral at this time, but it's not uncommon that we get a call. There's going to be a funeral ceremony at a certain cemetery on a certain date. We will drop what we're doing and move everything out there to get that road accessible for ours. Right? That's our responsibility. We're providing that access. That means that it may be the grader may be down on the south end, but it might have to go all the way to the north end. But that's the priority. That's what comes up. Storm response. I think everyone can relate to that this week. This culvert you see here that washed out, it washed out again this storm we had this week, and it got closed again yesterday. We thought we hadn't fixed, but it's closed because the culvert's so damaged that it cannot be driven over any longer. You see here 229 on the south end from some storm damage. The guys are out there cleaning it out. So oftentimes, whenever we have our contractor working on their normal routine maintenance and then a storm occurs, we pull our contracting staff off of what they're working on to fix our storm. You saw that picture of them taking the stuff out of the ditch up at Hillman Ferry Campground. That was a special response. That became the high priority. And so they're not grading the road. They're working on that. Major damage. Ski's going to know this one right off. I know. This road, Neville Bay, just past Neville Bay camping area, this culvert began to fail, and it got to the point where we had to close it due to our its condition. Once we got the funds available, we had this replaced. So when the funds were made available, we pulled our crew off of what they're working on to go get this fixed to open this road back up. These are our high priorities. Like I said, they change depending on what's popping up at the time. Now, once you get past the high priorities, you get to our reunion roads. So here at LBL, there's approximately 30 reunions to pre-post, about 30 cemetery reunions. Families of former residents, communities, they'll come back to the cemetery, they'll have a reunion. We want to make sure that that experience is as enjoyable as it can be, right? We want to make it, facilitate a good reunion for them. So we know when these reunions are going to take place, a year in advance. And we put it on our calendar to make sure that these roads are graded right before the event. Not like at the beginning of the season, because we all know if you grade it in May and the reunion's in August, it's going to be in terrible shape. The roads are going to wash out. So our contractor does a great job of making sure that we're on that schedule. And we work together to make sure we're on that reunion road schedule. Tied in with that, we have our recreation site roads. So access to all of our campgrounds. We're trying to get access to Red Hollow, access to Neville Bay, access to Nickel Branch, all these locations where people want to camp. We try to get it done before Memorial Day. That's our goal. And if we have the funding, we want to grade these roads at least two more times that season. So these roads typically hit three times a season as funding allows. And then once you get through those priorities, which you rarely do, you're grading by proximity. So for example, I just had a funeral on the north end going to Lady Cemetery. Why would I pay the contractor to pack it up and drive it all the way back just to pick up where they left off? I'm not. That's a waste of time. That's a waste of money. So I'm going to start grading these roads up here. And then once they get called off to do a funeral down here, I'm going to start grading these roads in this area. And then 2 weeks later, whenever there's a storm event, the grader gets moved over here, I'm going to start grading the roads in this area. I'm trying to use my money as economically as possible, as my time as economically as possible, because we all know road grading, you only get about 8 months. The winter, you can't really grade roads. They're too wet. You're going to do more harm than good. And also wet weather days. We weren't able to grade any roads last week. It was pouring down rain, lightning, thunder, everything else. So you lose days to do your maintenance. And so that's what that other grading by proximity fits. And then also, you know, we get a lot of, we use the word complaints about our roads. We factor those in to this list. I mean, it fits in here. When we know that the public really needs access to a certain area, we fit that in. But it's always a changing, evolving thing. I wish I could show you guys a spreadsheet. I love spreadsheets. I want to just give you a spreadsheet and say, we do this road, we do this road, we do this road, and this one in April, and this one in May, and this one in June. I'll never, ever be able to do that. Because our priorities shift on a daily basis. And honestly, our funding limits have hampered us from being able to do multiple things at once. We'll talk about that in a minute. What does good maintenance cost? What's the true cost of good road maintenance? So the forest highways, as we talked about ad nauseum, are maintained by the states. So we asked the states. I asked Tennessee, and they gave me some answers. They said, in $2025, TDOT can maintain their 43 miles of road, routine maintenance. So this is pothole patching. Remember all these things we talked about, pothole patching, roadside mowing, all the typical things. They need $650,000 a year. And I didn't get good numbers from the state, but the miles roughly double, so I just doubled the number. 1.3 million for Kentucky. Routine maintenance. That's what they need per year to maintain the forest outlets. Not Forest Service roads, just forest outlets. Construction. So this is saving up money for a culvert failure or a bridge failure like Hematite Creek. They bank that money and then they execute whenever the project arrives. 1.6 million in Tennessee, 3.2 million in Kentucky. Bring us to a total of 2.25 million for Tennessee annually and $4.5 million to maintain just the forest highways annually in Kentucky. Put it all together, our forest highway total per year, $6.7 million. Now to put this in perspective, we currently receive $0.
And 6.7 is a little bit higher than our annual rate. So in our
other Forest Service roads. So these are the non-forest highways. These are the roads that we receive appropriated dollars to maintain. Annual maintenance costs. So road maintenance, this is just an estimate. We're talking about road grading. Current rates, we pay $700 per mile for a road grader. That's just to run a road grader down the road. That's not adding rock. That's not replacing a culvert. That's literally dropping the blade. And it's difficult work. Don't even belittle it. It's very difficult, but that's what we get. If we're doing it with the dozer, it's $1,026 per mile. Those are the rates we're going to pay. Roadside mowing, we're paying $146 per mile for every mile that we mow. We do side arming. We do signage replacement. We do pothole patching on a few roads. Technically, we have very few roads. We should have to do pothole patching because we don't have many paved roads that are not forest highways, but we find ourselves doing it. Ditching and culvert cleanout and storm debris removal. So these routine maintenance items on LBL, excluding forest highways, cost $1.5 million annually. That's our estimate. Construction estimate. So the same items we talked about to do road reconstruction, to do culvert replacement, bridge replacement, paving and repaving, striping, and safety features. In order to execute this mission, $1 million a year. Totaling $2.5 million annually. So let's sum it up. Our annual budget estimate, these numbers are estimates, for all the forest highways to be maintained in perpetuity, an annual budget of $6.75 million. $2.5 million total for our Forest Service roads, bringing us to a total annual road maintenance dollar amount of $9,250,000. The states currently receive $0 for forest highway maintenance. We receive last year, not guaranteed this year, last year we received $255,000 in appropriated funds. So, we make up with what we can in revenue dollars. You saw we try and utilize grants. We're fortunate, unfortunate, depending on how you look at it. We're fortunate enough to get IRFO funding, if you want to call it that, that can supplement some of our road there. But we're not going to touch this 9.25 today. Any question? Yes, Dave.
You've been talking about the cost of maintaining the roads. Yes. Do you have an estimate in the cost of not being?
I do not.
Because you're losing visitation, they're harming the economies that's running.
So that's an interesting nuance, right? How much, what, so how does poorly maintained roads or transportation system contribute to visitation levels and then by extension revenue generation overall? That we don't have, I don't have that. I don't know that question, but so we decided that, but based on their just the general, the nature of the questions, because just the recurring nature of wassailing over the roads, people asking, well, you got all these revenue dollars, so, why aren't the roads in better shape? So I asked Jordan and the engineering shop to pull together this presentation and make the math make sense, make it transparent. And it's downright startling how insufficient our budget is for maintenance of the road. With the input of the loss of the Federal Sports Highway designation and the funding stream that came for that, how insufficient our revenue generation is to contribute to this diesel, a solution here. We're a bad spot.
Do you get revenue sources from Region 8 headquarters, Galpenberg?
Oh, there are no revenue sources from Region 8. We get an allocation. So the Congress appropriates, and then we get that allocation. And that allocation was $255,000.
Last year. Right. The final budget's not out for 2025. We don't know what our appropriation amount.
And it's commensurate. So I don't want to paint the picture that we're not getting our fair share of the appropriation. That's based on road miles. And so that's going to be fairly consistent with what the National Forest are getting across the region based on road miles.
But they're not accounting for the 119 miles of forest out.
Correct.
Which are the most expensive. Miss.
Or the number of cemeteries that you have. Anything else.
Correct. And those are both anomalies specific to LBL. Most national forests don't have that density of paved road to maintain.
A little bit, oftentimes, but not this density. And almost no national forest that I'm aware of has active cemeteries, not to mention as many active cemeteries as we have and are required by law to maintain access to. And I'll also point out, Jordan is soft-shoeing this just a little bit, but the road miles to access the cemeteries, if you have to look at this map, you'll see these little cemetery symbols. None of those roads that we remain maintaining access to are counted in this map on this. And there are lots and lots of miles that aren't accounted that we're maintaining access.
Well, back to your spreadsheet that you like. Like for each road, you could have a list of what road is, length of road, and last time you maintained it, when you graded it, when you bush hogged it, or when sidearm, because sidearming hasn't happened in a long time. A lot of it happened this year, which was a good thing. But let's say you don't have to do that every year, but some roads you could do on a routine basis every year. And grade, like you say, Bay roads need to be done 3 or 4 times a year. That hasn't happened. Because money doesn't last that long, I understand it, but if you needed a list of when it was done last, would be helpful to people. Say we graded it on such and such date, we had a storm on this date, or something like that. But a spreadsheet like that would be helpful, I think. Yourself and for public.
We do have a spreadsheet we provide to the public that shows our monthly road dollars spent and what funding source was spent each month. And then they also submitted as each quarter. And Emily's in the process of working out the new website. So that should be back up there at some point. That those spreadsheets are there. Now it doesn't, I mean, it's literally just the month of February.
Yeah.
We did this total money and what job, or not job, but job source, funding source.
Will that be on your main
website? It's been there since 2021. And we're just getting our new website up, all that stuff we put back. Sure. Yes.
I was just wanting to commit, I don't know, the public affairs officer for Facebook. I've been monitoring on Costa Rica, especially with this past storms, and I've noticed the interaction with the public, and I saw some good comments. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to go on the record and commend the public affairs officer for that, because I've been following.
Right there. Yeah. She's right there.
I've been following quite a bit. pass paper to Rickin.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wait.
You said that LBO gets a commensurate amount of funding per mile. Does that take into account that this would be a national recreation area and not this small Forest Service here?
Visitation levels are not factored into that map. To the best of my knowledge.
The whole purpose was to bring in the recreation.
To the best of my knowledge, no. That is a fact then.
There are multiple factors I'm not aware of what they are. I know road mile number, maintenance level number, but there's a whole other. I mean, you might even know more, but I don't know what factors are included whenever the WO and our Washington office and our regional office have to decide how best to allocate what's given to them. And I wouldn't put any of them under the bus. I think they all do as good a job as they can of what they're given. But I don't know their metrics. I've not been shown
what accuracy. Just to add to that, so it's an insufficient amount of money, right? It's insufficient ever. So, you know, if we got more of that pot, and we're still going to be insufficient, and they're really insufficient now, is I think how it would work out.
And I will just note that both the Washington office and the regional office send every penny to the field. We are not sitting on a pot of money in any of our allocations or our appropriated fundings, whether it's roads or trails maintenance or timber dollars, et cetera. And so we are not in the business of keeping holding money back from field events.
I appreciate your questions, and we're going to take a lunch now.